This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
You are listening to the Sheffield United Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. 30 minutes dedicated to everything where the Blades are concerned. And there is a bit of news to unpack. Kevin McCabe news this week. We're going to be talking all about that and the Premier League action returning after the international break. You can have your say and join in tonight's show by tweeting at Love Sport Radio or calling us on 0208 7020 558. And last week we kicked off the show by talking to Blades legend Michael Brand and James Shield from the Sheffield Star. And I'm delighted to say James is with us again tonight. James, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for joining us again. Unfortunately, we have to start with the game on the weekend. A disappointing loss and at home to Southampton. We know the home form is so crucial this year. What did you make of the weekend's fixture against the Saints?
Yeah, absolutely. That it was result-wise, it was very frustrating because, as you say, before the season even started. In fact, I mean, both Chris Wilder and his players had sort of really bigged up the importance of getting results at home at Bramall Lane, and had placed a great deal of emphasis on doing that. So to have lost at home for the second time this season, but I think more importantly, to have lost at home this season to a team that, you know, with all due respect to Southampton, you would probably expect are going to be one of the ones down there towards the sort of the wrong end of the table, as it were, come the final reckoning, I think was doubly disappointing. But on the flip side of that, and in a sense this is a good thing, in another sense it's a bad thing, it was a pretty sort of familiar story again, in the sense that in terms of general play, in terms of their open play, I thought Sheffield United actually did pretty well. And once again, they looked more than comfortable at Premier League level. But the difficulty was just sort of translating those chances that they were creating into goals. And, I mean, one player in particular, David McGoldrick, who I love watching, I think he's more than worth his place in the side. But I think it's fair to say possibly at the highest level, finishing isn't one of his strong points, and I mean that with all due respect. He was the player that those chances kept falling to, and ultimately they just paid the price for that.
James, it's been a bit of a mixed bag at the Bramall Lane this year, hasn't it? Because obviously that disappointing defeat to Leicester, beating Crystal Palace, now that disappointing 1-0 home defeat to Saints on the weekend, sort of very indifferent. Can't really put our finger on it. What are you making of this indifferent home form?
I think the big thing, as I just said there, is almost just that ruthlessness in front of goal. I mean, they've been guilty of a few little mistakes off the ball, and that's been a feature of this season as well. I think, you know, let's be honest, they were probably guilty of making some mistakes off the ball last season as well, but obviously at Championship level, they're not punished quite as ruthlessly as they are by Premier League sides. So I think that's something they're going to have to look at. I think they are going to be a team that's going to grow as the season goes on, because there was an awful lot of new players came in over the summer, and they needed to do that to get ready for the top flight. But it's just it's almost a cliche, isn't it? It's just those sort of fine margins, those tiny details that they've got to take care of. And I think the one thing, if I can just say, you're right, they've got to get this home form right, because ultimately that's what sets the mood, isn't it, for the whole season. It's at Bramall Lane where the vast majority of their fans are going to be watching them this year. But I think, just sort of overall, they can take a little bit of encouragement from the fact that as I say, they've not looked out of place at this level. They've looked as if they can create chances. They've certainly shown they can create chances. And I think in the grand scheme of things, I'd have been more worried on a sort of a personal level if I'd have been sat there watching a team that was, rather than missing chances, was actually really struggling to create them. And, you know, there's certainly not been a chances or a shortage of good opportunities that they've created this year.
certainly creating chances, James, having the possession. It just feels maybe it was just me before the international break, coming back 2-0 down at Stamford Bridge, getting 2-2, a little bit of momentum. And it did kind of carry over, you know. Let's be fair to Sheffield United. They played well, they just couldn't score. And that's what Chris Wilder said afterwards, didn't he? He said, you know, we need to wisen up a little bit. We're creating the chances, we're just not being clinical enough. Is that half of the problem, James?
I think that's absolutely the problem. And do you know what? It's one of the things I've actually enjoyed of this season. There was this sort of fear that I think when Sheffield United stepped up to the top flight, that some of the sort of the PR machine, the spin doctors that often turn up when clubs reach the highest level would sort of suffocate some of that plain speaking that the managers, you know, become known for. But there's certainly been no sign of that so far. And I think he was pretty right in his assessment. It is just that ruthlessness. It is just that sort of little bit of nous and little bit of experience that, you know, obviously established Premier League players, and Southampton have got an awful lot of those, that they bring to the table that Sheffield United are going to have to sort of learn and pick up along the way. The one thing I will say is, and there's no point in dressing this up, for all of the good things that I think they've shown this season, it is lessons that they're going to have to learn pretty quickly, because otherwise, you know, they are going to find themselves in a little bit of trouble at the bottom of the table. And as we've seen, you know, you certainly don't want to be in and around there over Christmas. I think if you look at Sheffield United's fixture list, they certainly don't want to be in and around that over Christmas either, because it does look pretty, I wouldn't say frightening, because I don't think they're a team who's scared of anybody, but that does look, well, it certainly wasn't a Christmas present by the fixture planners, let me put it like that.
Well, it's a very honest assessment from you there, pulling no punches, James, but I think it is a lesson that the side will learn. Chris Wilder will make sure of that. He's a disciplined coach. You know, every game in the Premier League, it's a learning curve, but you did put the ball in the back of the net, obviously, McBurney, it was offside. And I want to talk about two things. One, apart from the offside, it was a well-worked goal. But, you know, Sheffield United having a big taste of VAR there. We've been talking about VAR a lot this season. It is in its infancy. And I felt for the Sheffield United fans. I think, you know, ultimately they knew it was offside. But that moment, celebrating that goal, what was it like? And then the VAR pops up on the screen, no goal. It is heartbreaking in those moments, isn't it?
Do you know what? It frustrates the hell out of me, to be honest, this. Because I was... This is probably going to sound wrong because, obviously, you know, from a sort of a personal and a professional level, I'd have much rather have seen that goal stand. But at the beginning of the season, I remember sitting down, and obviously VAR was a subject that we sort of discussed with a manager and his coaching staff and the players. And to begin with, I think Chris Wilder made absolutely no bones about the fact that he wasn't a big fan. Then, as the season sort of beckoned and it was beginning to sort of loom large on the horizon, he seemed to sort of change his tune on that a little bit. And I'm not too sure what it was. I wonder if it was one of the presentations that the teams got on that when they went into the Premier League. And you know, he became very much an advocate of it. I wonder if I put this question to him after the game, and he sort of kept a very straight face and said, yes, I'm still a fan of VAR because I think ultimately it brings, you know, a lot more to the table than possibly it takes away. But I'm absolutely certain he'll have been cursing it after that, because there's no doubt last season that although John Egan had just strayed a little bit at offside before Ollie McBurney put the ball in the back of the net, Lee Mason gave that goal, and I'm absolutely certain it would have stood last season. But you know what, one of the things that really frustrates me is that we spent about 10-15 minutes after that game sort of picking through that goal with Chris Wilder and another couple of incidents that took place that possibly VAR should have looked at. There was a penalty appeal after that goal that had went in that Sheffield United didn't get and didn't go to VAR. But as I've said on a couple of occasions, it just absolutely baffles me and frustrates the life out of me that rather than discussing something that's actually, or somebody that's actually taken part in the game that we've just watched, that we then spend a quarter of an hour after a match discussing somebody, you know, what they were up to in a video analysis suite 140 miles away. And I, listen, I might be old-fashioned, I might be showing my age here, but you know what, I just don't think that's good for football. You may well disagree and feel free to, but you know what, that's what I think, and I'm sticking to it.
No, I completely agree, James, and I felt for Sheffield United, obviously talking to you and doing this show, I'm keeping an eye on their results, and I'm the biggest hypocrite going. I think VAR's fantastic when it works for my team, yeah. And I think it's the worst invention in the world when it works against them, typically British in that sense, but it is disappointing, and I think with the VAR issue, it's not so much that VAR, because VAR is only there to enforce the rules. I think it's the rules that us fans, as there are new rules, we need clarifying on, because, you know, and especially when the ref, it is a subjective view, is very difficult. It's very difficult, shall I say, what is handball, what is offside, you know, with this LVAR, because a lot of the times it's not as simple as black and white. There is a whole grey area, and ultimately it is subjective. I just want to quickly talk about, James, the Billy Sharp sending off, because we know what Billy Sharp means to Sheffield United. We know what he means to the fan. We know of his talent and ability, but how annoying is it when he has these moments of madness, because he does that, have that in his locker. He does have that as a player, doesn't he? And you just think, why?
Do you know what? I mean, I was actually sort of really disappointed for Billy, actually, on Saturday. And I think you're right. I mean, you know, the manager said afterwards that he didn't have too many sort of, you know, problems or any problems whatsoever.
Too many complaints.
With the sending off. And, possibly 10 years ago that wouldn't have happened. I don't think, you know, had that gone to VAR, that would have been overturned in the current climate. And, yeah, Billy's got a little bit of an edge about him. I think that's possibly, he's certainly not a dirty player, and I don't think he has a sort of a terrible disciplinary sort of record. And I don't think he's going to get probably too many red cards going forward in the future. But the thing that I thought was a real shame about that was that was a big chance for Billy, you know, to come on at a key stage of the game. You know, I still think personally he's probably the best finisher at the football club. He will have been very frustrated not to have played more football this season, and that was a chance to really give the manager a nudge and say, you know, look at me, you can't keep me out of this starting 11. And of course now he's going to spend three games watching from the stands. So, you know, it's a real shame for the player himself. And I also think, going back to what I just said, because, I mean, personally, I still believe he's the best finisher, the most clinical forward that they've got at Bramall Lane. I think it's a real shame for Sheffield United as well, because, you know, as we were discussing earlier, taking chances is something that they've got to put right. If they can begin to take even half of the number of chances that they're creating, I think you'll see a team comfortably sort of established, you know, in mid-table or possibly slightly above.
James, I think you're completely right. They're having the chances, they're having a possession. They just need to be more clinical. A shame for Billy Sharp, because we know what he means to the team. He's a brilliant finisher. They need him in there. They don't want to be missing him through suspension. Next, we're going to be keeping James on the line, talking about that game against Everton on the weekend and talking all about Kevin McCabe.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
You're listening to the Sheffield United Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I'm still joined with James Shield from the Sheffield Star. We were just looking at Sheffield United's disappointing 1-0 home defeat to Southampton on the weekend. We will be looking at the game against Everton, who also lost 3-1 to Bournemouth, so maybe Sheffield United can get some points there. But before we look at that, we have to talk about the interesting story this week. Kevin McCabe, obviously, big news, James. You know, former Sheffield United owner Kevin McCabe has questioned new owner Prince Abdullah's suitability to run the club. McCabe was forced to sell his 50% stake in the Premier League side because of a High Court ruling, which was this week, and he says now he regrets selling that 50% in the first place in 2013. Kevin McCabe, lifelong Blades fan, you know. James, what do you make of this? And can you tell us any more? What do you know?
Yeah, well, the latest on that is that obviously we're still waiting to hear if Kevin McCabe's going to appeal that ruling, and he put out a statement today saying that the judge who delivered that after the hearing earlier this summer had sort of not ordered him to transfer the shares over yet, And I think that was sort of painted as providing him with some sort of degree of protection if indeed he does decide to launch an appeal. And as I say, we'll find out whether he is or not, possibly end of October, early November. The case has been adjourned to then. But I wasn't surprised, and I don't think any Sheffield United supporters will be surprised either, to sort of see this war of words is possibly a little bit too strong, but, you know, to sort of see some of this sort of ill feeling beginning to sort of spill over into the media again. I think it's been a pretty long running sore. It's been going on since in the public arena. It's been going on since December 2017, very very early into 2018, when they both launched takeover bids to try and buy each other out and, you know, sort of dissolve their partnership. But there was a few cracks beginning to appear in the relationship even before that. And it will, you know, with being totally objective on this, it will create some shockwaves behind the scenes at Bramall Lane, because Kevin McCabe's been there as a director for just over 20 years now. And for a lot of people at the club, you know, they will owe their employment to him. And, you know, certainly he's possibly always been the sort of the highest profile figure there, and he's all they'll ever know. But unless something major happens, then, you know, we're heading into a new era of ownership at Bramall Lane, and it'll be fascinating to see how that pans out. I mean, the Prince has been putting a little bit of meat on the bones of the sort of strategic plan that he's got this week. He's been doing that this morning, and a lot of his people have been at Bramall Lane today, just sort of outlining what they're planning to do. And he's holding some fans forums and some press conferences, some media sort of briefings later this week. So it'll be fascinating to see how that pans out.
James, what do fans make of McCabe? What kind of esteem is he held in there? You know, he's someone who's invested more than $100 million in the club. Like you said, a lot of people owe their employment to him. But on the other hand, you know, Prince Abdullah has said the Sheffield United fans should wait, because in 4 or 5 years' time, they're going to be extremely happy with me being here. You know, this is a new era for Sheffield United fans. How do they feel about entering this new dorm? You know, is there a little bit of uncertainty? Are they happy about this? Or are they just not sure they need it to sort of play out a little bit longer before they can make a decision? Because, it, you know, with new owners, there can be a cautiousness, can't there be?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, that there is a degree of uncertainty, and I think that's absolutely understandable and absolutely right. Because, you know, as we said, you know, Kevin McCabe is somebody who's been there for an awful long time. I mean, obviously, he's been part of a partnership with Prince Abdullah since 2013. But it is almost a seismic shift in what's going on behind the scenes. I think, being absolutely fair, you know, there are sort of some questions to be answered by Prince Abdullah. I think even he would accept that, and I think even he would acknowledge that. I think we've got to sort of reserve judgment and bide our time a little bit before we can make sort of any real assessment on whether or not his period here is going to be a success. So I think, you know, in that sense, yes, we've got to just sort of wait and see. But in terms of how sort of Kevin McCabe is sort of held by Sheffield United fans, I think there's an awful lot of them, probably the majority of them, appreciate what he's done for the football club. That's not to say they've always agreed with everything that he's done. I don't think any owner, or very, very few owners of football clubs, sort of get unanimous pats on the back, and I don't think, you know, they don't get absolutely unequivocal support from a support base, and that's quite rightly so, because it's a game of opinions, isn't it, after all? And we'd all run football clubs slightly differently. If we were both running Sheffield United together, Charlie, I think we'd probably have differences of opinion ourselves, wouldn't we?
So, no, not me and you. We get on great every Tuesday. I really enjoy this half an hour. Don't say that, James.
No, that's right. Yeah, we were doing so well there, weren't we? Yeah,
we was. Well, look, the book isn't closed on Kevin McCabe just yet. Obviously, I think this one, we need to see how it plays out. And me and you would definitely, that conversation will be carrying on, I think. It will be maybe an ongoing theme of the show. But let's look towards the weekend now, because Sheffield United do play Everton. Everton, who had a torrid result at Bournemouth, 3-1 there. Not many people expected it. You never really know what you're going to get with an Everton side or a Bournemouth side, to be fair. Sheffield United, they had 10 days after that international break to work on things. Disappointing home result to the Saints. But what are you expecting in this one, James?
I'm expecting to see, it's almost a cliche, isn't it? But I am expecting to see a response from them. I think the one thing that they do, and listen, I know every manager will say this, I know every player will say this, but I think, you know, we're in quite a privileged position that we get to see a little glimpse behind the scenes. They are a club that works exceptionally hard on the training ground, and they are a team that actually sort of cares. You know, there's an awful lot of players there that have invested a lot personally, you know, and emotionally in that football club. So they will be hurting a little bit after that. I think there's possibly a few changes that they might make. There's a few players, Lees Moussay being one, who could possibly come into the team. He's been sort of pushing very, very hard for a start. And it will be a difficult game, because I think Everton are probably a slightly different team away from home than they are at home. This one's obviously at Goodison Park. They are an established Premier League club. I'm sure Phil Jagielka, who's back at Bramall Lane now, will be able to be providing a little bit of insight into how things work behind the scenes and into how Marco Silva might be setting Everton up. But, you know, I don't think it's a game. And again, as I go back to what I said earlier, I don't think it's a game in terms of overall general play that Sheffield United have to go into it sort of fearing what might happen. I think if they go into it, play their game, and they take care of those small details that we talked about, I think they've got every chance of coming away from it with a positive result.
Every chance of coming away with that positive result. Everton are obviously a different proposition at home. We know what side they are at Goodison Park. They'll be looking for a response. You said the most important thing is a response. Both teams looking for a bounce back result, a bounce back performance, shall we say. James, I have to put you on the spot. You've obviously told me how you think the game's going to go, but what is your score prediction for the Blades?
My score prediction for this one, and you know what, I think this would be a result they'd be very happy with. I'm actually going to go for 2-2.
2-2?
2-2.
2-2. Well, I'm not going to lie, James, I'm a little surprised at that. I thought you might go for the Sheffield United win. You got the prediction wrong last week, not that I'm
I
counting.
Did, yeah.
Yeah, that's all right, everyone.
So that's
can
Sheffield
get off
United 4, Everton 0. Yeah.
Yeah, well, exactly, if it works in reverse. But 2-2, away from home, you know, you've already had a 2-2 at the Stamford Bridge this year against Chelsea. You yourself and the Sheffield United fans, even Chris Wilder, you reckon they'll take 2-2? Be you happy with that?
I think so long as they can get their home form right, and so long as they can get that back on track, I think if they're picking up points at home more often than not, I don't think too many draws away from home at the established Premier League clubs, the bigger Premier League clubs. And Everton, you know, for all some of the difficulties they've had this season, are certainly one of those. I think a point away from home at a club like Everton is a good result for a team, you know, in the position that Sheffield United are in now, in terms of coming back into the Premier League after a long absence.
Another, hopefully, good result for Sheffield United this weekend. James, always a pleasure to talk to you. James Shield there from the Sheffield Star. He is going for 2-2 this week. Sheffield United take on Everton. Everton are at home to Goodison Park. Not a lot of fixtures in September for Sheffield United. They play Everton this weekend. Then they face Sunderland in the third round of the Carabao Cup. Then they have a big one. Liverpool at home on the 28th of September. We will be talking to James Shield every Tuesday, 10:30 till 11 on the Sheffield United Fan Show on Love Sport every Tuesday. Catch us here next week for a dedicated 30 minutes of everything Blades. We will see you next week.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.